At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Hello, friends. We've missed you. We're here. We're at it. And we have a very interesting episode that we alluded to, both in the promo that we put on Instagram and, the last few minutes of the first episode we did back, and we promised to give you at least one a week. That's the goal. Right, Greg?
We're shooting for it. We're aiming for it.
Yeah.
We're lining up guests.
Yeah.
Once we get rolling, it'll be downhill.
Yeah. But we have one of the more fascinating stories I've ever heard. And we're going to do, I think, three parts with this man, who is our friend, who actually showed up and recorded on our ranch. So it is very much Be Here for a While on the ranch.
And then there will be video of it available on our Be Here for a While Patreon.
Yes.
Which I don't even know if it exists yet, the Patreon.
I'm getting to it.
But we're going to put it there when we have a Patreon. All the video elements, even that last podcast with Rachel and I just kind of re-kicking this off.
Yeah, which is fun. I have fun doing this with you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. It's fun to have like a co-host. I mean, I loved doing it by myself for years, but it really is, I don't know, brings my spirits up to have someone to like chat with.
It's a little easier to talk to someone else than read a script.
Yeah.
And make it feel conversational with the audience.
Yeah. It's much easier, like especially with like Seven Deadly Sinners, where I really committed to just doing it only script, and it, like for like 3 years of that, that's a lot of work. And
you've written some really great scripts, compelling. Even this last episode on the Go Chavez Dodgers. Ravine.
Go Dodgers.
That Go Dodgers. Was overtaken for the Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm. So go over to Seven Deadly Sinners. Check that out if you are interested in sports or our voices. But this episode, when I say, besides, if you guys remember, if you listened back when I did the episode with Matthew Hahn, I would say that was one of the more compelling stories I'd ever heard.
And like a true act of like bravery and honor.
Yeah. And
code of honor.
Yes. This story reminds me of that, where I am equally as proud to share his story and as fascinated by it. Maybe even more, actually, because how this man got out of this situation is, and you can't make this shit up. There's not one line, and I know it to my core.
Well, we've had it verified from other sources, and there's a lot of things we want to say, but we're not sure if we should say to kind of confirm the validity of these stories. But hey, you know, even if you think it's a made-up story, it's a damn good story, so you'll enjoy it. And mm-hmm. And really, the guy's entire life is a very prolific journey. Yeah. And there's little bits we're going to include in there, or maybe only on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've cut out the things that we feel unsafe saying.
There's going to be a more, explicit director's cut available on the Patreon.
Yeah. Let's just say it involves the cartel and no one wants to mess with them.
Yeah, we're not trying who knows who's already following us, tapping our phones, keeping tabs on us. Probably nobody, but
well, you never know.
We don't want to get it to start.
Yeah, but thankfully we still have our best weapon, and it's my annoying personality. So
we're not getting kidnapped.
We're not. Yeah, just they're gonna be like, just get rid of her, go.
I've been trying to for years.
Yeah.
Not really, quite the opposite.
Thank you. I love you. But this is a very compelling story, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And there's going to be more from him, because it doesn't end here, but this is probably I talk to him often And I feel like new things come up and I'm just like, what is your life?
He's a horseman and he's a legend. And we'll leave it at that.
All right.
Without further ado.
Our friend Johnny.
The names and places of events and people in these stories have been changed or removed to protect all parties involved. And the opinions expressed by the speakers are their own and don't necessarily represent the beliefs or thinking of Rachel and Greg.
I never worry about finances. I got that monthly income no matter what happens. At least I got that. But I was not ready to take on a woman and her daughter and support them, you know. So I thought, okay, I'll go do a job. Because it came up. And somebody called and said, usually about something else. He said, they need somebody that speaks English and Spanish. And it's, you're going to have to go into south of that border. Didn't tell me where. $50,000. That's a lot of money. You know, independent. But the thing you got to learn about this way of life is it's the type of thing that you're going off radar, you're on your own. It's what they call a suicide mission. You're on your own. Nobody's going to keep tabs on you. You can't say, you know, nothing. You're on your own, buddy. And for $50,000, that's it. I've always flown by the seat of my pants. Just do it. Sounds exciting. And then I get over there, and my job is to bring somebody down. Take them down. Didn't know, they wouldn't give me any more detail. I had to know how to speak English and Spanish. That's it. And it was going to pay $50,000. Cool. So I get over there and meet this son of a bitch, and he, if he ain't dead, he should be. Piece of shit. The more, when I got there, he told me basically that it couldn't be just an overnight thing. And I said, I'm here, what the fuck, man? I came to do a job. Let me do my job and get the fuck out of here. The sooner the better. He says, well, that's why it pays well, he says. And this it is kind of a pretty good pay for something like that. And one thing led to another, and the guy was telling me that it had to be made like an accidental death. Guy's name was This is real. I think he was from Florida. Look him up if you want. Retired. I think he was like in his, maybe around 80, somewhere around there, give or take five.
He was 80 at the time?
At that time. The guy was also a vet. That's where they fucked up. Mm-hmm. That's where they fucked up. Now, we're not supposed to know anything like this about anybody. Go down there, do your thing, and get the fuck out and go. That's it. But this time, to meet the man, and I'm supposed to kill this poor bastard, and he was a good man. He was a much better man than the son of a bitch that wanted to kill him. And I don't know, I said, look, I can't just, nah, man, I told the dude, look, man, I can't do this shit like that, man. That's not the way I thought it was going to be. He said, look, that's the way it is. And he even told me where and how, and he would tell me when. That's all I needed to know, and I couldn't stand it no more. By that time, I got to knowing this man better and better and better and better, and I thought, no way, no way. A certain point came when I thought, no, it doesn't matter what it costs me. I can't do this. And he drove a fucking Mercedes, white Mercedes and shit, and he, convertible, and he just drove me around. It's like, kind of like a movie thing, but it did happen this way. I'm giving you names and shit. This ain't made up. So this guy, but he ran everything, everybody in the town, every cop, every judge, everybody, I don't know, by proxy, I guess, whoever's in charge or was in charge of that part of the fucking country, they ran him. Mm. I'm talking cartel now.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit. Cartel ain't down with that kind of shit. I know goddamn well that, I don't know, I just don't, I can't believe they would allow somebody to bring that kind of heat down on the rest of them.
Yeah.
If it happened to be that way.
Now, did he give you a time frame in which it needed to happen?
No. He told me he would tell me any day, and I'll tell you when. He said, it's important to me. He said, you can understand this aspect of it. I can't, there's certain things I don't have to tell you, and this is on a need-to-know basis. Mm. I said, all right, I got you then. But then at a certain point, I just decided, nope, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I can't. So I started calling him Doc. And he kind of looked a little bit like Colonel Sanders. And I told him, we were back at his house. I had the keys to the van. We were playing chess, drinking margaritas, and Ben beer. And I said, hey, I got to tell you something, but this is serious. He thought my name was David. What is it, Dave? I said, man, I came down here to kill you. He said, you did what? I said, this motherfucker sent, I got sent over here to take you out on his, at his request. That's not your friend. He says, what do you mean he's not my friend? If it weren't for him, he's the one that's helped me. My whole RV burned down. I lost everything, and he let me stay in his house. Van I'm driving, it's his van. He lets me stay here. I said, the son of a bitch has got you. I said, they burnt your fucking RV down. They did it at his fucking RV. That was his people burned the fucking RV down so you would have no way out. And he conveniently let you stay in one of his houses and conveniently got an extra van for you to drive. And come in, he got your beer money and everything, as long as you pay him back when you get your check at the end of the month. Or the first of the month, whatever. He said, nah, it can't be. I said, look, goddammit, it is true. This is serious shit. He said, I'm going to kill that son. I'm going to kill him right now. I said, no, you're not. I got the keys. I said, you're staying here till you fucking calm down. I said, when you calm down, you're not stupid. You're going to realize the best thing we can do is get the fuck out of here before daylight. We can get passed through the checkpoint, go to Mexico, we'll be in Calexico, we'll be in fucking San Diego before anybody realizes we're gone. And that's when he said, no, I don't think so. He said, yeah, somebody's got people everywhere. I said, I can understand the magnitude. By that time, I'd seen enough. I wasn't belittling, I wasn't in no way underestimating this man or his power. But this was important, man, a man's life. I was not going to do it, not only now, not in my life too. And I'm trying to tell this stupid, but I'm telling him, God damn it, it means both of us. Look, you can't do anything. What the fuck you think you're going to do? He said, I'm going to kill that son of a bitch. I'm going to kill him. You're going to get us both killed. I said, now settle down. Take a stiff drink. And I handed him a bottle of tequila, and he took a good drink. Settle down. We start playing chess. Then he's got to get up and go to the bathroom and shit. I don't know how that old man crawled out through that little bitty window. But he did. I don't know how he got that van started. He must have had an extra set of keys or something. I don't know. But the next thing you know, it's like fucking 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, 1 or 2, somewhere. It was after midnight, I think. And I heard the van take off. I heard it start and take off immediately. I could hear he had dirt in front of his house, so he was spinning out on the dirt. And I ran out the door. Stop! He wouldn't. I started running. It's not that far from, it's a small town anyway. And we didn't live too far from where he was at. So I started huffing it towards trying to get there before him and stop this motherfucker committing suicide and getting us both killed. But I didn't make it. So then I was on my own. They killed him. Pretty damn sure they did. Heard gunshots. So I started, and then they started coming out that fucking place. And then when I saw them coming down the road, one after another, after another, after another, lots of them, headlights. And, oh, shit. I had a gun, I was wearing tennis shoes, and I forgot what kind of pants I was wearing, fucking shirt, dress shirt. Is it? and I run towards the coastline. And I backed into the Sea of Cortez. And I started riding it. Oh, man, the riptides got me the first night. Got me out there way out. I almost drowned. Lost my gun, lost my shoe, one of my shoes. Damn near lost my life. But I got out of it somehow or another. And drank a lot of water, but I got out of it. And I just, up the coastline, I was just headed towards California. And they were looking for me all over the place when they saw my tracks. Going in, I was way the fuck up the coastline from them, so I came out backwards and let them think that this is where I went in, that's where I came, whatever, the vice versa thing. But then they hunted me until, and when it got, I was tired by daylight, I was tired, and then got real thirsty and starting to get hungry. And I went 3 days pretty much, same technique. I stayed in the water during the day and came out and dug me a sand pit, a little trough to sleep in. But before I did that, I would always walk out backwards. And then I'd get out there and I would run a big, large area, round area, big, way out there, away from me. And then I would settle down, not on the beach, but halfway between the beach and that, and all those tracks. That was my security system. And dig me a little trough and I'd sit down and go to sleep. And I would hear them fucking quads and trucks and shit. Well, I know, whoop, here they come. Go back up into the ocean again. Back in there and do the same fucking thing. Got bit by jellyfish, man of war, and who knows what else. Fucking sunburnt, thirsty. 3 days later, I still ain't found no water or food or nothing. And I always found it just in time. It's crazy. I climbed the fucking, by that time, I didn't have no shoes. Lava rock on bare feet. I'm talking about you, tender feet is one thing. My feet are not just tender, they're fucking wimps. They're like baby doll feet or something. Goddamn, they're incredibly sensitive. And I can step on a grain of salt and feel that damn thing. So, yeah, I tore my feet up, man. But coming out there with bloody soles, and I was more afraid of sharks than anything else. They don't go past that sandbar, that last sandbar. And but once I started walking on the sand, kind of made its own soul. It was padded. It felt much better. But then I started climbing this fucking mountain. I had to find a high point. I got to look for some ranch or something down there, any sorts of food, water, anything. You know, I was real thirsty. I don't know how many. There was at least 3 days later, and I'm eating these fucking lizards and trying cactus and shit, and my fucking tongue felt like a stick. And I had, my back was bad, everything, my feet, everything. I was fucked up. And I thought, oh, fuck, that's in California. Goddamn, when they do that, they show all that shit, it's wild, it's fucking hot, it's like fucking hell. It really is, and you're out there with nothing, no resources at all. And somehow or another, I remember telling the stuff my grandpa taught me, the Yaqui way. Always comes back. And I started paying attention to where the fucking, all the creepy crawly things and the bees, which way they flying and shit like that, any birds at all, anything. Water. And I found tinajas, what we have all over the place out here. They're rare over there. If you find a little tinaja with any water in it, you're a lucky motherfucker, man. You know, they're very rare. But the birds know where they're at because they fly and they see everything from up there. We don't. So the birds are mandatory, and then all these insects, they got an instinct for knowing where the water's at or something. I don't know how they do it. So I learned how to survive, and I learned which cactus I better not eat and which ones were good enough for water. And yeah, I learned a lot of shit. You can't drink your own piss. Don't do that. Ocean water, try that shit. But you learn that it's really easy to stay buoyant, in salt water. So it was, you know, really effortless just to stay above the water. And during the daytime, I would like go out there in the water and the waves would be coming in. So I ducked down enough to keep my head above the water, right? And I start walking, crab walking sideways along the beach. You start going in above you start coming back up and you go just like that. And after a while, you kind of get the hang of it, you know what to expect. And it's kind of funny after a while. But the whole time, and then this I'm going to tell you something. Nobody will probably believe it except people that have experienced will tell you this is true. You can smell cordite behind a fucking bullet that's been fired from a half a mile away if it comes that close to your fucking head. Because I smelled cordite all of a sudden. I'm out there in the ocean, fucking waves and shit. Goddamn, cordite? I know the smell of it. Definitely, unless I'm hallucinating. It could have been. But coincidentally, I look up on the hill, and way up down the cliffs, I see a puff of smoke. And then even above the waves and everything, I could hear. And even after that, I could hear like a second and a half later, go, pow. I thought, man, this summit almost, he's shooting at me. So I ducked down on that summit. Every time I saw a puff of smoke, I would duck down and crawl sideways and then pop my head up somewhere else. And I figured by that time the bullet gets to where if he's a good shot, and I'm not going to be there anymore. So I kept looking at that puff of smoke. Every time I saw a puff of smoke, I'd move. And I just did that. And at one point or another, I guess somebody got discouraged. He decided to find another place to shoot from. Or he lost sight of me, thought he hit me. I don't know. But I kept going and got away. And I think it was about... I know two times that one time I ate a snake, and when I ate that snake, I think I don't know whether it wasn't the venom or not. It wasn't like that. It was just the fact that I ate something, I guess, and it woke my brain back up or something. And I was looking down, I saw a bunch of lights like a community down below. And I'm thinking, well, that can't be. Hey, there's nothing down there. I'm hallucinating. This is not true. There can't be a little community of houses with lights on down there, a whole bunch of them. But I thought my mind wanted, I wanted water and food, man. And the tank said, I was. And this was written in big old giant letters on the side of that water tank. I was the. That means water. You ain't fucking with that shit. I did. Hell, I was thirsty. Goddamn right, I did. I started to throw up, and I didn't give a shit. I threw up again and again, but I kept drinking that shit. And then I'm looking around for something to get anything to put it in, take it with me. Shit, I was just lucky that guy didn't have a dog outside or nothing. Anyway, that hallucination, either whether it was or wasn't, if I went down that fucking mountain, I knew I wasn't gonna make it back in time to get in that ocean before daylight. And so I wouldn't, and I know how to read the stars, the North Star, and I know how to find that motherfucker. So eventually I knew which way I'm going, and you know, I'm still follow coastline. How stupid could it get, you know? And as long as you remember your coastline is that way, your coastline is that way, you head that way, and that's all I had to know, is just know which way the coastline. You can hear the fucking thing anyway. So I think it was 10 days later. It was 10 days when I came out, when I crossed the border. But before those 10 days, the last course that I took was, there was an abandoned beach house. And I mean, it had been there for a long time, years and years and years. And it was boarded up, clapboarded, everything on there. You couldn't see anything inside. And you had a padlock and one of them wrought iron gates and shit on it. But padlock wasn't about shit. I learned at least that much behind bars. So I was worried about leaving tracks that I had been there. Because I was going to go inside, and I knew it was like nobody was home. I knew that. Not only that, I could tell nobody had been around there for a very long time. So the first thing that came to mind was some of the rich people's beach house, you know, out there. And when I went in there, I jimmied the lock, opened it up, went inside. And it was really dark, but I made like candles and shit. Everything was there like if the people had left and intended to come back like the next year and never did, you know, like that. But everything in the cupboards, there was beans and all kinds of stuff, but it was all expired, way expired. I mean, when I ate, I got food poisoning and everything out of there. But luckily there was water, gallons of water. It's a precious commodity over there in them parts. So man, I drank, I ate, and I got food poisoning, suffered from food. So I look around, all I could find was women's clothing. It wasn't an older lady. And I was, by that time, I'd lost so much fucking weight. I mean, I can tell you how she couldn't even recognize me when she saw me. Anyway, but there was a bathroom and everything, and there was a mirror. So I looked in the mirror, and I thought, holy shit. I didn't recognize myself. And I thought, but they're looking for somebody, with a beard and mustache. I shaved my mustache off and shaved my beard off, and you know, and I let my hair grow anyway. I didn't give a shit, but it wasn't just about a couple of weeks later. And she had some of them slip-on fucking deck shoes and a big round straw hat and big old turtle shell glasses, sunglasses. And when I put that thing, I did look like an old lady. And not only that, but I found it looked like you could use like a crutch. It was just a piece of wood she had collected. But it could use, I guess she might have used it for walking. And then I just used that. And I found a bunch of coins and shit, but I didn't know how much they, I hadn't gotten down to the monetary thing yet. So I didn't know if I had enough for a bus, but I know if I walk that way and keep walking that way, that's the fucking, that's the only highway that goes all the way up the coastline back to California. So I walked it out there, and sure enough, here comes a bus sooner or later, and they'll stop for anybody because that's their pocket money. And I got in there and just gave them a handful of coins. I said, is that enough? And I acted like I didn't know how to speak Spanish. And then somebody said, "Nine, sir, does anybody here know how to speak English? This old lady doesn't know how to speak Spanish." It was me. This motherfucker's called me an old lady. An old gringa. So anyway, I got from there to the checkpoint. Now, this is after, I forgot to tell you, while I was out there in the fucking, the cops and everybody, cop cars looking for me out there in the desert. They were all looking for me. And there was a lot of them. So when we get to the checkpoint, fast forward on the bus and shit, then this man says, "Okay, everybody got to get out here." In Spanish, right? But I could understand what he was saying. And I didn't know how to ask, you know, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to understand Spanish. Yeah, do I have to get out right here? And he didn't understand it. "Hey, anybody speaking English? You want to do somebody to talk to translate? I'm trying to tell him something." And I said, "The border of California. I want to go to California." He said, "Quiere ir para California? Jose, Jose, you're going, yeah, you're going to Mexicali, yeah, yeah. This lady needs a ride." So I get in the car with the fucking cop, and he gives me a ride to the fucking, to the border. I cross the fucking border. I make it from there, by bus from there. That's the first time I really needed anything at all, any help from anybody. People hang their clothes in the closet. I've seen it in the movies. I thought, why not? I gotta have something. And that's how I dressed myself, people's clotheslines. It wasn't a perfect fit, but I fit in. Anyway, I got to San Diego and had to go to one of them homeless shelter things, and I called my shop. I had just left a fucking shop in Texas tomorrow.